Once more, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying,
The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again, he sent other slaves, saying,
Tell those who have been invited, Look, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.
But they made light of it and went away, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his slaves,
The wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go, therefore, into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet.
Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing a wedding robe. And he said to him,
Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe?
And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants,
Bind him hand and foot, and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
For many are called, but few are chosen.
Wedding banquets. Wedding banquets. Wedding banquets are so much fun. It's always a joyous occasion with food, dancing, people dressed in their best attire. Everybody's happy. The families who have been planning the banquet for months, sometimes years, are able to let down their hair because anything that could go wrong has already gone wrong at this point. So it's time to party. Pictures are taken of people being silly. Videos are being made of people telling the couple how much they love them. All is right with the world for that one moment. All is right with the world. So why in the world would Jesus want to go and ruin our whole understanding of a wedding banquet? Invitations issued, nobody has time to come, messengers are killed, the host in turn kills the murderers and burns their cities to the ground. The good news, I guess, is that the host issues another invitation, and you better believe people came that time, wouldn't you? Good and bad, everybody made sure to attend that wedding banquet. This is not a typical start to most wedding banquets that we have attended. To make matters worse, the host sees someone at the banquet that just does not seem to be wearing the appropriate attire. So the servants bind the man hands and feet, throw him into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I don't know why you skipped some of this, Deb. I don't know. And Jesus says, The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. Yeah, Jesus, about this parable, I'm real close to just saying, I think you went a little too far this time. Last week, we heard about grace for everyone. Doesn't matter when they show up for work. Obviously, didn't matter what the workers wore for clothes, but clothes were never mentioned in that parable. And Jesus said the kingdom of God was like this. For those of you who were here last week, I encourage you to hang on to the grace image because this parable takes us on a whole other ride. Seriously, the kingdom of God may be compared to a host who gets killing mad because people are too busy to come to a wedding banquet. The kingdom of God may be compared to a host who retaliates violence with violence and destroys a city over a wedding banquet. The kingdom of God may be compared to a host who invites the good, the bad, the rich, the lowly, a diverse group of people, and then gets upset because someone isn't dressed to the nines. So upset that the guest has to live in darkness for eternity. No room for grace, no room for hesitation, And this parable makes me feel as if there is no room to breathe. I have struggled with the parable all week. You can ask Deb. Every day I'd show up in front of her desk going, "What is wrong with this parable?" 1 month ago, I was all excited about preaching the parables from Matthew. They require a lot of prayer, a lot of study, and some are really good. We've heard about forgiveness and grace. It's Lent, so I know that as we move through Lent, the parables are going to get a little tougher, but this is ridiculous. How many of us really want to sit here and hear a parable that would try to scare us into claiming Jesus as the Christ? Not me. So what do we do when Jesus takes what we know to be a joyful, fun, wondrous time, such as a wedding banquet, and brings violence and banishment in? What do we do when this parable that Jesus shares sounds totally opposite of what we know of the love, grace, and mercy of God? We dig a little deeper. Jesus entered Jerusalem in chapter 21 of Matthew. This parable is in chapter 22. It's an entry that we'll celebrate in 2 weeks. So I don't want to say too much about the entry now, except to say that in Matthew, after Jesus enters Jerusalem, he enters the temple and overturns the table of the money changers. The next morning, he curses a fig tree because it had no fruit on it. Now, when he enters the temple the next day, the religious leaders begin to question his authority. By what authority are you doing these things? By what authority are you teaching? And Jesus answers them in parables, of course. And the first one's about two sons of a man who owned a vineyard. He tells the son, one son, to go out and work in the vineyard, and the son says, "I will not go." And the other changes his mind and goes and works. The father goes to the second son and says, "Go and work in the vineyard today." And the son says, "I will go," but doesn't go work. He asks the religious leaders, which son did what was asked of him? And the religious leader said, "Well, the first one, of course." And Jesus says, "You know what? The tax collectors and the prostitutes are going to get into the kingdom of God ahead of you. John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe in him. The tax collectors and the prostitutes, they believed him. Even after you saw it, you didn't change your minds and believe." Jesus is not making nice with the religious leaders, can you tell? Then he tells a second parable. Again, another landowner who plants a vineyard, puts a fence around it, digs a wine press, and builds a watchtower. Then the owner leases it to another person and leaves the country. When harvest time comes, he sends his servants to the tenant to collect his produce. The tenant sees the servant, beats one, kills another, and stones yet another. The owner sends more slaves, and the exact same thing happens again. Finally, he sends his son because he knows they'll respect his son. Nope. Tenants grab him, throw him out of the vineyard, and kill him. And Jesus asks the religious leaders, "What will happen when the owner shows up?" And the religious leaders say, "Well, the owner will put the tenant to death and lease the land to other tenants." And Jesus says, "The kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to those that produce the fruits of the kingdom." The religious leaders realize that Jesus is talking about them. They wanted to arrest him, but they were afraid of the crowds because the crowds believed him to be a prophet. So Jesus spoke to them again with another parable, and that is where we find ourselves today. Jesus didn't have any love lost for the religious leaders of the day, in case you didn't catch that. And maybe that's why I've struggled with this text so much this week. If we think chapter 22 is bad, wait till chapter 23. Jesus really goes after the religious leaders, the religious institutions of the day. He says that the religious leaders take the best seats at banquets. They love to have people worship them, and they lay heavy burdens on the people. The religious leaders, the religious institutions, lock other people out of the kingdom of heaven because they don't even go in themselves. The religious institutions, the church, have a greater love of money than of the presence of God. The religious leaders, the religious institutions, the church tithe exactly what they should, except they have neglected the gift of justice, mercy, and faith. Jesus really hits us hard with how good we look on the outside, but inside we are filled with greed and self-indulgence. And you get the picture. Jesus is headed to the cross. Jesus has been calling people to turn their hearts to God, and at every turn the religious leaders have tried to stop him. He isn't doing it right. He isn't one of us. How dare he welcome Gentiles into the fold? Hasn't he been hanging out with tax collectors, sinners, and prostitutes? If people start following him or believing him, it's going to upset the way we do things. Jesus is headed to the cross. And as he makes the journey, he's still worried about us. And the religious leaders want to get rid of him. If only we would listen. You see, the kingdom of God can be compared to a wedding banquet that a king hosts for his son. No one can refuse the gracious invitation of the king. It would be very rude not to attend the banquet. After all, the king has prepared his oxen and his fatted calves, only the best for the banquet. But people made light of this invitation and went to work on a farm or went to their office, and others killed the messenger. The king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroyed the murderers, and burned the cities to the ground. Next, he tells his servants to go out into the streets and invite every person you can find. The servants did as they were told, and the wedding banquet was filled with people, both good and bad people. And there is our grace from last week. Both good and bad are welcome and invited. But something goes wrong. There appears to be one guest who just isn't dressed right, which we would think could be many of them since they just came off the street, and there are bad people gathered in this room too. The king says, "Hey, you mister, how did you get in here?" The person was speechless, and into the outer darkness with the weeping and gnashing of teeth, this wrongly dressed person goes. Is this parable over the top? Yeah, most definitely. Did Jesus mean for it to be over the top? I believe he did. The religious leaders of the day were keeping the grace of God locked up tight just for them, and Jesus preached a different message. They are questioning his authority, and he uses parables to hopefully get them to look at themselves and to fill their hearts with justice, mercy, and faith for all. He uses horrible parables. Parables that I would just as soon tear out of the Bible and never, ever have to preach again. But my goodness, Jesus is headed to the cross. And he's trying so hard to get us to turn from pride, self-indulgence, self-arrogance, self-righteousness, and self-absorption to be people who wear the clothes of justice, mercy, grace, and faith. Later on in this chapter, one of the religious leaders asked Jesus, which is the greatest commandment? And Jesus says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." No self-absorption there or exclusion. Is it any wonder, really, that Jesus went over the top with his parables at this stage of his journey? He knows of the love of God for all. Good and bad are welcome to an incredible banquet that is filled with dancing and food, drinks, everybody happy, everybody welcome. He also knows that those who are still clothed in greed, self-righteousness, pride, will live in darkness and not in the light. And the ones who continue in the darkness will stand out as if they have on the wrong clothes in a room filled with good and bad. Many are called, but not everyone turns their heart to God. This parable, as hard-hitting as it is, to the religious leaders, to the religious institutions, to the church, really does have grace included. A colleague of mine said that this parable is filled with amazing grace and a God who consistently rages against our pride and self-righteousness in the hopes that we will be a people of justice, mercy, and faith. A people who love God with every fiber of our being and neighbor as self. the kingdom of God may be compared to. Oh, Jesus, if we would only listen. Amen. At this time in our service, we do issue an invitation. It's an invitation to come and join with our community of faith, a community of faith that believes the invitation to God's love, to God's world, to the table is issued from God and Jesus, and all are welcome. We invite you to come as we stand and sing.